12, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, please. I have a very quiet voice. Now you turn me off, sister. Thank you. I'm going to say this again in a few moments. I would rather not speak on what I'm going to speak on this morning. It's the next passage in Ecclesiastes. You say, why not? Everyone look up here. Because in this room, when we deal with this passage, every person in this room is either looking into the abyss, will be looking into the abyss, or you are close to people who are. This passage is easy to read when you're 20. It's not as easy to read when you're 68. And look at me, and your mother's almost 94. And was in the hospital last week getting fluid drained from around her lungs. So did you hear me? None of us escape this passage. I'm going to speak this morning on a Latin, two Latin words that I'm assuming any educated person knows. Carpe diem. Seize the day. I'm going to do everything I can to explain it and apply it to you with no guilt, no games, just reality. Let's stand, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. If you do not have a Bible, it will show up behind you. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I still remember one of my favorite people in St. Louis. He got to the place, and it was probably the last 10 years of his life. He lived as a man a short time, 95. His last 10 years, my wife can verify, he lived on chocolate. Do you all know why? Couldn't taste anything else. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, because in coming, you'll come to days where I have no pleasure in them. And then it does, through some high-level poetry, describe, well, you know what it's describing. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. And the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors be shut in the streets when the sound of grinding is low, and he shall rise at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Everyone look at me. Huh? Huh? I talked to one of my aunt and her daughter this week, and I said, by the way, my mom has two sisters. Mom's the oldest, almost 94. One will be 88 or 89, and one is 84, 85. The youngest is in the worst health. I said, has my mom called you recently? Because my mom is in heaven when she's with her sisters and my two sisters. But the problem is, my mother can't hear. Did you hear me? She can't hear. So she rarely talks on the phone, and she will just, you know when she doesn't hear you. She'll smile and nod her head, and she didn't hear a word you said. Are you reading the text? Jim, you've been doing that before you had hearing aids. It's not a recent thing. I learned that a long time ago too, friend. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 5, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. Everyone look at me. Almond tree? What happens when you get old? Well, some folks don't have gray hair. My wife does not have a single gray hair, but she's only 21. That's the reason. Anyhow, the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. That can be interpreted two different ways. Either it will be a burden to pick up a grasshopper, or the grasshopper can't pick himself up. And desire I hate this phrase, shall fail. Why? Because man goeth to his long home. That's the same word as eternal. You could say eternal home. I like the word long because, folks, I live here in Zion. I've lived in the same house almost 30 years. Some of you have lived much longer in your house. That's your short home. Your long home is some other place. He says, because man goeth to his long home and the mourners go about in the streets. And then it gives some very poetic descriptions of maybe heart attack or problems internal that they would have recognized in the ancient world, or else the silver cord be loose, probably something to do with your spinal column, or the golden bowl be broken, probably something to do with the circulation, the heart, the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit unto God who gave it. I'm going to speak this morning on carpe diem. Now, friends, please look at me. I am not going to try to get your attention. If the word of God doesn't get your attention this morning, go to sleep. But I want to say to you, every person, regardless of age, lives on the precipice of this text. This is how you live. David says this in 1 Samuel. He says, there is but a step between me and death. No guilt. We're not doing guilt. We're not doing shame. We're talking reality. This pastor says, remember now thy Creator. Not next week, not next year, not when you're 40 or when you're 50 or when you're 60 or when you finally retire, because everybody knows when you finally retire, you'll have time. That is, if you have the health and a lot of other things. Again, simple sermon. It's the hardest sermon I've ever preached because it's the one thing we cannot do. We have a hard time looking. Look at me. We have a hard time looking at it. It's a very difficult time. Let's pray together. Father, bless our time together now. We ask, may you bless your word. Oh, my goodness. This is something that we ought to learn to seize the day. Carpe diem. Grab it. Grab the day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. For all of you that come from hospital backgrounds, carpe diem. You know the phrase from full-time, part-time, and per diem. For the day. Same words. Well, we start with this. It was a wedding that happened in this room. Her desire was to walk down the aisle with someone who was tall, taller than her. She actually said something like, taller the better. So in the wedding party, we found the one person that was certainly taller than her. I showed that to Bambi. She says, who was that guy? That's Mr. Too Tall Hall a couple weeks ago, and Jenny's mother. That's how the wedding started. Oh, by the way, do you know how cool you are? When we got married, we were the coolest people in the world. We thought we were doing the latest fashion. And every Jan, I guarantee you, if you got married at the same time, your clothes looked just like that, correct? Because everybody had, we were so fashionable. We had all the guys in ruffly shirts in different colors. I think there was like pink and purple and all, and peach and all. You say, I just had a white one on. You say, where were you in the picture? In the far back, hiding. Friends, that happened 46 years ago, 46 and a half. Let's look at the last picture. It's the only hard one for me to look at, for me. Yes, I'm twice the man I used to be. Just get that through your head. You say, who are you shaking hands with? My dad, he was 51. He's been gone 12 years this year. Friends? Jenny's mom has been gone how many years? 3? My dad's been gone 12. Her dad's been gone a lot longer. I never met him. He died when Jenny was young. Can I say this, friend? Carpe diem. Seize the day. What are you doing with your life? Can I say this? You go home today and prop your little feet up and pooch and pout and think about yourself. Do you understand? You don't know how much time you have to live. What are you doing? I looked at that picture, and see, I don't look at myself because it doesn't impress me. I looked at my dad, and I'm thinking, boy, he looked good. Looked healthy. When he died, I picked him up in the middle of his sheet, wrapped him up in his sheet, and I picked him up out of the bed by myself with one hand. And he was always a 220, 240 guy. Cancer had taken the best of him. Carpe diem, seize the day. I say some things and I'm just going to read this. This is a hard sermon. First of all, it's hard to conceive. I don't know if any of us are capable of totally grasping this. It's also hard to preach truly and faithfully. It's easy to try to make people feel guilty, but to try to help us is my goal. And it's much harder to live. My goodness, it's hard to live. How do you live out carpe diem? How would I think that I've been married 46 years? I remember when my parents were married 40 years. I was pastoring in St. Louis. How did I get to 46? I'm not that old. My wife is only 21, so, you know, I don't know. Well, we're going to look. Now, everyone look at me. I'm going to do something very deliberately. One or two of you will know where this comes from, except the text. I'm going to start at the end and work backwards. Is that fair? So you understand, I'm only preaching the Word of God, but we're going to start at the end and work backwards. So if you look, chapter 12, verse 7 says this, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was given, and the Spirit shall return unto God which gave it." That's one of his statements at the very end of this section. It's like, do you not understand this body that you see, your body? Now you say, I believe in the rapture. So do I. But Paul thought he was going to come out at the rapture too. And it still hasn't. It will happen in God's time. But all things being equal, the man you look at one day will be buried. Some people will be cremated. That's fine. Whichever it is, you're going to return to the dust. You're nothing going to be left of you. Nothing. It's going to return and that's it. So, verse 7, and that's not negative, by the way. It also says, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So for us that are believers, you have hope that you'll be with the Lord, but your body and the time will be gone. 12 verse 5 says, and it's the latter part of the verse. We'll just read the highlighted portion. Because man goeth to his long home, as the mourners go about the streets. I would encourage you three simple ideas this morning of how to seize the day. Number one, remember your last or your final day. You've got to get into your head that you are going to come to your last or final day. You can drink yourself into oblivion. You're still coming to your final day. You can pleasure yourself and have fun your whole life. You're still coming to your last day. If you're ever going to seize the day in your life, it starts by looking down the road. You don't know how long. And I've got to consider the final day, the last day, not only of life. And I'm not even yet referring to eternity. I'm just looking. This is going to end. It's going to stop. Seems to be simple. The idea is simple. There's a thing called the end, and that end is coming. You're going to come to your long or your eternal home as opposed to your short home. Now you're in a home for a short period of time. Our president, in his mumbling, stumbling, talking wisdom, wants to have 50-year mortgages. Everybody look at me. We got a young man here. I'm proud of him. And he's got a great beard going on, Brennan. You own a house now, don't you? Now, let me tell you the good news. You will never own that house. When you get that house paid off, somebody else still owns it. It's called the state. You're going to pay taxes, correct? And let me just say this. If God blesses your life and you live to 100, how old are you now? 22. Sometimes you hear this, you think, I got shoes older than 22. 22. You do realize that's not your long home. That's your short home. You're only going to be there a while. You say, man, I want to buy the best house in Lake County. I want to live up on the hill. I want to live up on the creek. I want to live in the mountains. I want to, all that's wonderful, but you're not living there long. That's your short home. Your long home, your eternal home, you're moving towards. One of my favorite people in this church's history, and one of my best friends was Pete Vasilovich, still is. I love Pete, love Sharon. Sharon was a blessing in a million ways. I was talking to Sharon Vasilovich one time, and it's weird talking to people because there's people here like this. Vaughn, I think you're like this too. I grew up in one area. Same area my parents had grown up in. Same areas my grandparents had grown up in. The same area my great-grandparents had grown up in. Going back at least to my great-great-great-grandparents in the early 1810s. I talked to Sharon. I said, Sharon, where are you from originally? She looked at me. She said, well, Dad was in the military. We were every place. I'm like, what? You don't have a place that's like, that's where you're from. Now, I want to say this, and I'm happy for these guys. There's a handsome guy back in the back, Mr. Lopez. Not Big Mac. I'm talking about your better-looking sons. They take after mom, okay? Both brothers told me a couple different times they got to go home to Mexico where the family's from originally. Right, Leticia? But the best part of the journey, or one of the best parts of the journey, they got to see grandma, but they got to see where their people were from. Do you understand having roots is a beautiful thing? Now, I'm going to show you roots. They're not important. They're mine. Next. I've shown you this a couple weeks ago. This is my dad's side of the family, the Herrings. He was born in 1782 and died in 1839. That's a long time ago. Look at me in the eyes. Here's your problem. Where's he at? His body, his dust, yes? If he's a believer, he's with the Lord. If he isn't a believer, he's not with the Lord. By the way, this is your short home. If you're ever going to grasp carpe diem, you got to start with the final day, the last day, the long day, because it's coming. Now, on mom's side, one of the people I can trace back easily, that's Isham Adcock. He died in 1857. He was 46 years old, which was about average age of farmers in Illinois at that time. Isham Adcock, he fought in the Black Hawk War of 1832. He is my great-great-grandfather on mom's side. I descend directly from him. My mom's family grew up in the same area for three or four generations. I still have cousins live in that same rural area. Isham Adcock. And then there's his wife. Her name was Rachel Stennett Adcock. She was born in 1812 and died in 1902 at 90 years old. Friends, I want to say this to you. Look at me, please. All of them are dust. So here you are. You say, man, I got plans. Okay, got plans. That's wonderful. How do you seize the day? You recognize I'm moving that direction. I got to get a hold of this last day, this final day, because it will happen. I'm not going to do any guilt this morning. If you're waiting for that, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play games. We're just going to talk reality. When the Lopez brothers told me about seeing that, I was very happy for them. And I'm still happy for them. But that is still the short home of the family. The long home is later and much longer. Our bodies will return to dust, back to in Hebrew, the Adama, the ground in which it came from. Our spirits will either return to the Lord or return, well, go to hell. It's one of the, you only got two options. There's not a third one. Carpe diem simply means this: seize the day. It's a fact. It's coming. It might be a long time from now. It might be today. I don't know. But we must be prepared. Now, friends, I'm going to specifically look around the room. I'm going to look at every angle. I don't play games. I don't, in case you haven't figured out, I don't do guilt because it doesn't motivate anybody. I like reality. So as I look here, I don't know every single person in this room, but I'm going to ask you, are you really ready for eternity? For God so loved the world that he, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have, what, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, or eternal life, same word. Friend, if we're going to seize the day, we have to consider the final day, and the final day is coming. Now, right now, there's areas I didn't look when I started this sermon. And Marissa, you're in that seat. You're back there because you're sitting by that evil guy beside you. Everyone hear me. Everybody in this church knows that's been in this church who used to sit in that chair every Sunday morning. My friend Mike Rock, I knew Mike Rock for 47 years. And on a Wednesday night, I still remember, I was home, I was going to walk up steps, jump in the shower, take a shower, get dressed, come back and do Wednesday night Bible study. I got a call or a text. Who from? I don't remember. I think it was Jennifer. It was from you. And then I talked to people. Listen, and my friend Mike Rock was gone. This is not guilt. This is reality. How do you seize the day? You prepare for the final last day. That starts with knowing the Lord. John 5:24, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. My friend, there has to come a time in your life where you come to Christ, trust him, believe in him. For your only hope of salvation, it is essential. And shall not come into condemnation, by the way, but is passed from death into life. Acts 13:38 and 39, Paul speaking to Jewish people in a synagogue. He says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, meaning speaking to Jewish people, he was Jewish, that through this man, through this one, the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Friend, if you want to know what it means to be saved and forgiven, you've got to come to Christ. I talked to a young lady, 83, 82, 84, somewhere in there. She worked in the laboratory with us for about 6 months. She worked in the lab. She was a med tech, and then she was getting married, moving out to Valparaiso area. Her name was Sharon. Was it Sharon? I think it was Sharon. Been a long time. I talked to her. There was another lady I had led to the Lord. Nancy talked to her. Another lady was already a Christian in the lab. She talked to her, and through a process of time, one night she came to me late at night before we got off work, and she says, I'm ready to get saved. I showed her some gospel verses. She trusted Christ. She never told me this. This comes from Nancy. I went home. She drove out towards Valpo where she worked, Valparaiso, Indiana. She told Nancy, I cried the whole way home. Do you all know why? She said, I knew my sins were forgiven. My friend, in this room, seize the day starts with remembering the last final day. You've got to go back to the very last final day. It's or go forward, actually. You can't start now. You got to get some parameters in your head from the text. Well, secondly, we'll read the verses first. And they're tough verses. I don't like them. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, which assumes there's going to be some bad, evil days in the future, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of a bird. And all, boy, I hate that line because it's happening to me. I hate that line. I still haven't adjusted from this massive time change. Every morning I wake up at 5 a.m. I don't want to wake up at 5 a.m. That's not a good time to get up. You say, what does this mean? I'm getting old. Wow. He goes on to say, and the daughters of music shall be brought low. You can't hear anything. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree, and boy, it's flourished, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. You just don't have desires to do anything. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern. By the way, they didn't understand everything, but they understood that you have a spinal column. They understood there was some sort of a circulatory system, and they understood that at a certain period of time, all of that inward system of circulation ain't functioning anymore, and you die. They use images. By the way, we number one, everybody, remember your final day. Please look up here. I just showed you pictures of my wedding, yes or no? From that wedding, Jenny's mom is gone. My dad is gone. The man that walked us down the aisle, Uncle Heinz, good Irish guy, by the way, that's a joke. Uncle Heinz Mayhat is German, as much of a sauerkraut as you could ever be. Uncle Heinz fought in World War II. By the way, he spoke and read German, so they let him be in intelligence for 5 minutes until they thought, wait a minute, but you're German. And then they shipped him to the Pacific, and he fought in the Pacific, which was pretty normal. A wonderful man. He walked us down this aisle 46 and a half years ago. 2 years later, her younger sister got married. He was no longer, was he alive? He was already gone by the time your sister, by the way, 2 years, he got Lou Gehrig's disease and was gone. Less than 2 years. Remember the final day, the last day. Secondly, remember the coming and or declining days. Your life is going to decline. Things are going to change. I know you say, Pastor Warren, my name is Brennan, and I'm 22, and I am the man. And by the way, Brennan, and I'm happy you're the man. Trust me. You and your friends here, well, not T-Tom, the other guy. I'm happy for you guys. You're macho. I was there, macho. Can I say this? Every time I see people like Superman and Tom Lex climbing up here, it's like, God bless you guys. I used to do stuff like that. Yes? Mr. Losey, I still remember that guy. Mr. Losey was careful at this. He was careful. A little crazy, but careful. It was the hardest thing to get him not to climb up in his 80s. He was just, Jan, is that correct? Was he stubborn? No, he wasn't. He was smile the whole time and do exactly what you told him not to do. Correct? Yes. Now, we have here this morning, by the way, I'm coming directly at it. There's no lying going on this morning. For all of you that want the pastor to lie, you're in the wrong church. This quote comes from a lady in this room, Lois. I don't know how long ago it was. Rhonda, when did your mom and dad go to Europe? Do you know? Is it 10 years ago, 8 years ago? So that's about 10 years ago. Go ahead, sister, if you can move through the verses. I'll come back to those verses in a moment. Lois told me the statement that I wish she hadn't told me. She said, life is divided into three stages. Brennan, Big B, go, go. That's your stage. And then it goes into, look at me. You can still go, but it's not quite as fast as it used to be. It's slow go. And then it gets to be yes or no. Well, we say, which stage are you in? I'm still the man that I used to. Yeah, right. After having major surgery a couple, 4 years ago, after having knee surgery, I think I'm in the slow go. I'm still going. I'm still going to move. But can I say this to you? You're not changing this. If you think you're changing this, that's not the point of the text. The text is to tell you, if you want to seize the day in your life, you've got to consider the final day. Remember that final last day. And remember There's a declining days coming. By the way, do you know where Lois, Rhonda, do you know where your mom learned this from? I'm going to speak directly, so everybody get mad, go to sleep, whatever you prefer. I had spent 2 years talking to Frenchie, begging him to take Lois on a trip. Now, you don't have to like to hear this. You don't say it if you're in the pulpit. Frenchie is a man still dominated by fear. I talked to him, and he had 4,000 excuses why he couldn't do anything. I still remember the night a breakthrough happened in my office. You don't know that he would come up here and talk to me before the service. You know what the breakthrough was? I said, all right, you're afraid of everything. You don't know if you're going to like the food. Oh, shut up, all that stuff. I said, is your wife worth it? I said, I think Lois is worth the trip. And that's when Lois, then I think they went through a guy that arranged a beautiful trip for them. Wonderful trip. I'm very happy they got to go. They arranged that trip, and Lois came back with this thing. And ever since then, I'm thinking, Rhonda, at first it didn't bother me because I was still in the go-go stage. And then I had surgery, and then I had another surgery. And it's like, I think I'm beginning that slow go. What'd you say? Slow-ing. Okay. Yeah, Monica, I asked you this morning how my knee was. I'm limping this morning, she said. By the way, how's my knee? When I stand for an hour downstairs or 45 minutes and 40, it gets stiff. That's all. I'm fine. But can I say this to you? You're going to be there. You say, I want to seize the day. Seizing the day means seizing today because you know things are going to change. And you don't know when they're going to change. You just know it. Now, I want you to look back at the text, would you? Sister, could you back up to the verses, to the point in the verses? Here we go. Everybody, you just read along with me. I'm going to read from here. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why? While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say what? That will, have you listened to people at a certain age? They just can't find, they can't find rest. They can't find happiness. They can't find food they like. Everything. You lose that ability for pleasure. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. I want to say to everybody, when I was a member of this church, Brennan, at your age, buddy, I had perfect eyesight. I actually always had 20/15. Which caused me immense problems later when I needed reading glasses because I was too macho. I didn't need glasses. My eyes are just fine. Here, would you hold my glasses out here? Hold that book back here, Louie. I might be able to see it if I have enough. Come on, folks. By the way, what happens? The vision goes. If you were to ask me what I like the least, vision problems. I buy these from Amazon. I will honestly tell you, I have a pair of these. No, that's not true. I have normally 2 to 3 pairs of these every place I can possibly be because I read. Goes on to say, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Have you ever watched an old man get up? I was up at N&T's. I think I was with T-Tom. He wasn't paying attention. And I watched the old people in there. And they do it like this. Stages, and they're holding, reaching. You say you're picking on old people. You're going there. Why are you playing around acting like this isn't going to happen? Why do you think this is in the scripture? Remembering now, you don't remember now because you're special. You do what you do now because you realize those declining days are coming. You say, can you stand up well? Most of the time. If not, my wife comes over and picks me up. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody, who was it? Some mean person in this church asked me this. For the first time in my adult life, I bought a recliner. Now, I had something upstairs that was 25 years old and dead. And Jenny actually bought the recliner for me. You know what they asked me? They didn't ask me if it was electric. Yes, it is. It's the kind you push the button, you know, lifts your legs, lifts your back, gives your lumbar support, serves you a soda, serves you coffee on this side. But she asked me this. Did you get the kind that lifts you up so it stands you up? It's like, I don't need that yet. Friend, let's keep reading. Are you all with me? It says, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves. Friend, when I saw my dad at 51, I'm thinking, Dad was still as macho as ever. At 85, not so much. It goes on to say, and the verse 4, and the doors be shut in the streets when the sound of grinding is low. Again, you're losing hearing. And, you know, you probably don't want to go out. Have you ever met people that don't want to do anything? It's already here. They shall rise up at the voice of a bird. Any older person in this room already knows nothing. What does it take to wake you up in the middle of the night? Nothing. You just wake up in the middle. You get a teenager, they can go to sleep at noon one day, wake up at noon the next day, not even gone to the bathroom. We continue. They shall rise at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. It's like, turn that up, would you? Turn that up, would you? Turn that up, would you? Number 5. And are you all listening? And they shall be what? What? What happens with old age? People start becoming afraid of everything. By the way, it comes to us all to some degree. They shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. The grasshopper shall be a burden. Either the grasshopper is like you can't pick yourself up, or you're, you know, something of that nature, and desire shall fail. Somebody asked me the question. Are you guys ready for the question? When are you going to retire? I'm going to tell you when that happens. Do you understand that? You understand that? When I no longer have a desire to preach, read, think new things, and I start saying the same things over and over, I retire. Because the moment desire is gone for what I'm doing, why am I here? By the way, I have as much passion as I've ever had, but I realize, because I have friends in that condition, that will get where desire is gone. And I've met many people, their only desire is something to eat and sit down on the couch and let television watch them. He goes on, because the man goeth to his long home and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed or the golden bowl be broken. I think the spinal cord, I think the next three things just deal with the whole circulation process. In poetic terminology, the pitcher be broken at the fountain or the wheel be broken at the cistern. Next. Go ahead to the next section. I'm going to make these statements, folks. Get them in your heart. What you can do will change. Did you hear me? I told my wife in 1999, we're going to go on vacation. Are you listening? Before I'm to the place where I cannot walk. Because I have met so many people. I'm going to start living someday. No, you're not. By the time you get to someday, you're already in your declining days and fear dominates your life. Your body won't do it. Nothing works. No. What you want or desire to do will change. Absolutely. You'll find no pleasure in it, verse 1. Your desire shall fail, verse 5. What you aren't afraid of will change. And some people live their whole life in fear. My goodness, fear, afraid of everything. Oh, what if I... Look, can I say this to you? I actually had a person ask me, Pastor, they didn't say Pastor Warren because I wasn't their pastor. They said, we'd like to go to Mexico with you. The person said, what do you eat in Mexico? I looked at them like, well, first of all, same thing I eat here. Yesterday I had a chimichanga, I had some frijoles, I had tamales. Ooh, they were good. I said, we're going to eat Mexican food. And they looked at me like, I don't like Mexican food. And I said, well, you won't be going to Mexico then. Can I say this, friend? Your fears will dominate your whole life. Yes. What you can experience will change. You won't be able to hear things. You won't be able to see things. In 2002, I cannot be precise. I can be in that one. In 2002, this is what, 23 years ago, my mother would have been in her 70s. Jenny and I took my mother, because my mother is very pleasant, we took her to Scotland with us on our vacation. In my opinion, my mother's a delightful person. I like her. We got her a room. She had fun. My mother is very silly. I can still, Jenny, the things I remember the most is you and her on that little thing rappelling down into the Tomb of the Eagles. My second thing is her, we went hiking in a place, someplace, and we got off the trail, couldn't find a way to get back easily, and she kept falling down. And they have bushes up there in the north of Scotland, like shrub bushes, and she'd fall, it'd be like a bed. She would just laugh. She just kept falling down. My third memory is we went to Fingal's Cave. If you ever on earth get a chance to go to Fingal's Cave, we went up on top and walked into Fingal's Cave. She wasn't sure because it was wet, but my mother doesn't like water or boats. I have video someplace of my mom in that boat. They circle that little island, and that little boat looked like a cork in the ocean. Listen, and my mother got to see 10,000 puffin birds. At least 10,000. I've never seen so many birds in my life in one place. And my mom was so happy. About 2 or 3 or 4 years later, we went to Mexico, to the Yucatan Peninsula. We went to a bunch of Maya ruins, all Maya ruins that Jenny and I had been to. My mother had a wonderful time. We got to go to Uxmal. I hired her a personal guide, a guy that we knew, and boy, he did a good job, showed her everything. She liked the birds and the flowers as much as the Maya ruins. She went every place we went. In Palenque, she climbed tall pyramids in her 70s. Hear me. I planned on taking my mother on many more vacations, but my father needed open heart surgery. Everybody look at me. When you smoke cigarettes for 50 years, it catches up with you sometime. Don't be kidding yourself. It's not an allergy. He had open heart surgery. Then he had a disease, and then he lost it. Then he had to get his left knee repaired. Then he had to get his right hip replaced because of the disease. And it went on and on. And then, right around age 79 or 80, Dad got asbestosis from where he worked. He had it the whole time, but it started impacting him. He had cancer, lungs, kidneys, every place. My mother did what? Took care of everything. I'm not going to say what she told me. She said, your dad couldn't always get places. I took care of everything. She drove him to dialysis 3 times a week. She fed him. She took care of him. Dad died 12 years ago. When Dad died, do you know my first thought? I'm going to take my mother on vacation again. The next year, Mom was living alone at home, doing great. She fell down the steps going into the basement and broke her neck up under her skull, 1 and 2. For months, they couldn't figure out what happened. I kept asking my sisters, which are really not good medically sometimes, did they do x-rays? Did they do any kind of... No. They kept saying she had a stroke. And I said, Rita, Shirley, you don't have a stroke on both sides. If you have a stroke on both sides, there's a word for it. Dead. She had symptoms of spinal. Finally, they took an x-ray. She had to have spinal surgery. They fused those two together. Now, look at me, friend. I've never been able to take my mother on vacation. Do you know why? Look at me. You must grasp something. If you're going to start living differently for the Lord and for today, you got to do 2 things. You got to look down at the end and you've got to see this life will end. You're going to your long home. Let me ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for eternity? If you're not, you need to come to Christ. That's the seizing the day. Secondly, you need to realize this failing, declining. You need to remember that part of life because that's going to happen. You say, when? I don't know. I don't know. I do know this. When Uncle Heinz was here, he was a simple guy, worked in a factory. I'm not sure what he did, but he was a very smart, kind of interesting guy. I love to talk to Uncle Heinz. When he married us, not married us, he walked Jenny down the aisle. I just assumed we'd have Uncle Heinz for many more years. 2 years later, he is long gone. Got to get it, friend.
I've never been able to take my mother on another vacation. Well, we go now to the last concept. I have started at the end. Remember your final last day, because that's going to happen. And then back up. Remember the declining days. You say, when does that happen? Can I say this without any kind of negativity? Steve Tupper is here. I love Steve. There is a Tupper that I like more than Steve. You say his wife? Well, yes, of course. But his dad. His dad was one of the nicest guys I ever ran into. Funny. He was funny like you, Steve, but he was funny more out loud than you are. You're thinking what he's saying. Is that about right? I loved your dad. Folks, he's been gone for how many years, Steve? 1997. I cannot believe your dad's been gone that long. Folks, people die young. People that I love die young. I came to this church in 1993 to visit. I came here to see people that I loved. The husband died that weekend. I never saw him after that. I saw him at Victory Hospital on a ventilator. He was gone. Please don't play around. Look at me. There's a last day and there are these declining days. You say, I don't want to deal. I'm young. Are you really that slow? The way you grab a hold of today is you do it by grabbing hold of the last day and you realize this is going to happen, these declining days. And then you come back to this verse. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Number three is remember today. Remember today. I keep the last day in mind. I keep the declining days in mind. And I keep today in mind. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. 2 Corinthians, Paul says this, for he, meaning the Lord, saith, I have heard of thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee, meaning I've come and assisted you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Jesus said about an individual, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. My friend, we have to grab today. It's three pieces. Final day, the declining days, and today. We got to bring all of those back into our world, grab a hold of them, and what am I going to do? And we'll explain some of this. James 4. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow. Yeah, I'll get to church next week. I'll start that degree next semester. I'll get on that soon. No, you won't. He says, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor, like a mist or like a fog, that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Today is the day. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day to begin. Today is the day to grasp time. Last day, declining days, and today. Bring all that with you. Put that one in each pocket and keep a hold of today. And carpe diem. Seize what you're doing today. There's a lot of things. By the way, I want to, you know, this is no guilt. If you're dying tomorrow, what wouldn't you do today? Spend a lot of time gossiping and criticizing? Spend a lot, you say, man, I need 12 hours of TV. I'm going to die. Come on, folks. Bring it into today. Remember today. That's the key. Today is the day to begin. Today is the day to grasp time. Today is the time, I say, to rear your children. I came across this picture. I don't like it. Can you see that picture? You say, who are those people? I don't know who the guy is. But the little guy was my son 40 years ago. Next to that is my mother. I look at that and I think, oh, Mom, you look good. Next to her is my grandmother. Grandma's been gone since 2003. All right, everybody up here. Hey, everybody, what you gonna do with your children? You're going to get around to doing the right things when? Can I say this to you? Whatever I ever did for John, it's all gone now. He's 40 years old. He's 41 years old. If I'm going to start today, that helps me. But I want to say this to you. Too many of us in this room, you live your life like you're going to live another 100 years. And you're going to be healthy and you're not going to have any problems. What kind of, are you kidding yourself? This is not about guilt. It's about life. I started the sermon by saying this is the hardest sermon I'll ever preach. I'm going to tell you why. I'm not sure humans can grasp time. I don't think we can. All I know is this. It's time for me not to deal with my son anymore in that sense. I still have a relationship, of course. Next photo. When I first saw that picture, my first thought was, man, there's a lot of hair in that picture. You know what my time is now? Look at me. Now it's grandpa time. You see, I know who the one on the right's MAGA. I don't know who those two guys are in the front. Some of them I know, but can I say this? All the kids that are having to do with the school and the church, I'm their grandpa. I'm doing grandpa time. Can I say this? You walk out of this place thinking about yourself this morning, you have not listened to one thing from God Himself. This is the day. Seize the day. Unless you're just planning on coasting through life like everything is wonderful. By the way, there's no guilt here. Live your life. Live it on purpose. Live it for good reasons. Leave that picture up there. I like that picture. Today is the day. Today is the day to start memorizing scripture. We talked about that last week. How many did you memorize this week? Well, none, because I'm going to do that someday. Today's the day to meditate. Today's the day to give. Today's the day to witness. Today's the day to serve. I mean, it's today. It's always today. I'm going to close by saying this. Got 3 minutes. I'm going to close with a simple story. I want everybody looking here because this is my first experience in ministry. It's the weirdest experience when you're pastoring. I started hearing conversation from people. You know, the stuff that you don't want to say to me out loud, you say under your breath. When I pastored my first church, and this is what I heard. Now, I'm going to use names. It's not about any name in this room. So it was Brennan and Brian over here. Yeah, we're going to do those things when we get out of college or when we get our first job or when I'm going to do all those things, Pastor, when I finally get married. Okay, Pastor, I like what you're saying. I'm going to do all of those things after we have children because you all know once you have children, you don't have any time problems. Life is free. By the way, you're listening. I was listening to an entire church. They all were going to live in the future. Can I say this to you? None of them ever did anything except the same things. I had other people say, well, my kids are growing up. Once the kids get older, and by the way, there is a little break. Mia, I'm happy Mia's 14. Mia's a lovely young lady. I like Mia most of the time. Most of the time. She's pretty sweet. Can I say this to you? She's probably better than a baby in the sense that she can take care of herself. But listen, does that mean mom and dad don't have to spend? Oh, come on. I know, Pastor. Once my kids are out of the house, who's paying for college? You say, well, man, I'm glad we're finally done with college. They have jobs. They can take care of themselves. Who's taking care of the grandchildren? Can I say this to you? If you wait around to when you're ready to seize the day, you will never seize the day. You will waste your life. Remember now thy Creator in the day of thy youth. Right now. How do you do it? Final day, bring that into the present. Declining days, bring that in. And today, wake up in the morning. What am I going to do? What's God put me here for? What do I want to accomplish? I know what I want to accomplish. There's two guys here I want to influence. I want to help and be a blessing to all these other beautiful children, the ones that I know, the one or two I didn't know. I want to be a blessing to them. I want them when they come to this church, they like church because Pastor Warren has been good to them. How about you? And by the way, if you can't be good to those children, you won't be good to your own. And after a while, you've just wasted your life. I've been here 30 years. Now I'm in the place of burying people. Don't like it. Let's stand. In this room, it's already too late for at least two people. By the way, do not play games. Do not be religious. For two people in this room, it's already too late for anything, and you know who I'm talking about. It's too late. Whatever they did is done. Yes? You say, that's brutal. What are we kidding ourselves? It's going to happen to you too. It's going to happen to me. Friends, the hardest thing I've experienced this year was not. The hardest thing I experienced this year was not getting knee surgery. You say, why? My wife took care of me, drugs, surgery, everything. You know the hardest thing was this year? My whole life is geared to serving pastors in other countries. I couldn't go to India. I don't think you're hearing me. Now, some of you, the only thing you want to watch is television or yourself in the mirror. When do we seize the day? That's my prayer today. Seize the day. Carpe diem. Father, ask your blessing on this time. There's people here that are not saved. I know they're not saved. And Father, how do I deal with that? I ask that you would open their eyes, that you would convict them, that you would draw them to faith, that even today would be the day of their salvation. There are many people wasting their life, just kind of doing the same dumb things all the time. They like to do a little gossip, a little bit of criticism, because that makes them feel good. They like to talk about other people. They like to waste their life. Lord, this whole world is, we have a life to live. There's a final day coming. Declining days will come whenever they come. Today's the day. Carpe diem. Help us to remember now our Creator in the days of our youth. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.